Well, I wonder tonight how you're feeling. I'm sure with the announcement from the First Minister and also from the Prime Minister yesterday evening, I'm sure that all of a sudden your plans for Christmas are having to be rethought through and reshaped. And I know that perhaps people have just taken their plans and scrapping them and saying, well, perhaps this Christmas we'll forget and hope that next Christmas will be better. Well, I want to encourage you tonight that as a church, we are deeply concerned for you, and we're concerned not just for people who regularly attend the church here, but we're concerned for folk in this community. So if you are going to be on your own Christmas Day, or you know of someone, then I would urge you to let us know. Get in touch with the church here. So we'll see what we can do. Make sure that at least there's a phone call, or perhaps we can help in other ways, just to make sure that no one that lives and resides in this community will feel completely cut off. And so we feel strongly God, by his Spirit, he motivates us and compels us not only to love God, but to love one another. And so tonight, if your plans have just been scrapped, then let us know. And we'll pray for you. And we will try and help you and support you in any way. I think it was on Friday afternoon, after Viv and I had done some visitation here in the community, I went to visit my mother-in-law. And Viv, my wife, was just explaining to her mother that her next-door neighbours have got quite a setup at the front of their house. Flashing lights, there's an inflatable Father Christmas, and there's also this seesaw with a snowman either end, and there's all sorts going on. It's like a mini version of the Blackpool Illuminations. And so Viv was trying to describe this scene to her mother. Her mother can't see very well. And her comment struck me. She listened carefully to the scene that Viv had described for her. And then she said this. But I don't suppose Jesus is there to be seen. And often, you see, our families and friends and our communities and our nation can celebrate Christmas, and yet, in the midst of their celebrations, Jesus isn't there to be seen. The reason we acknowledge Christmas as Christians is because it is a reminder to us of God's immense love for this sin-stricken world. He had a plan that was shaped way back before the foundation of this world. And it was a plan that involves people like you and people like me. He really does love you. And the Bible tells us that he demonstrates his immense and eternal love for us as sinners in a variety of ways. But the greatest demonstration of God's love for you this evening and for me this evening is when we look with the eye of faith, when we look away to the cross at Calvary. Christmas makes no sense if we just isolate Christmas and see it as a separate entity. And when we come to this passage tonight here in Luke's Gospel, what we need to remember is that we are dealing with, here we have it, actual factual history. And Luke very helpfully writes and recounts these eyewitness accounts. But we need to remember that not all that was seen, not all that was heard has been recorded. And so we have a condensed version of the events here. But this is history. This is historical narrative. It really happened. These aren't fairy tales. This isn't a myth. This is actual, factual history of how an eternal God, how a holy God who existed, has always existed, he's eternal, then he steps down into time and space. And we see something of his huge, enormous humility in that he lowered himself and he was born as a baby to the Virgin Mary. And the reason he came was to save people like you and like me. And so the purpose for his birth was the cross. Because there on the cross, he was dying for you and for me. He was bearing our sin in his body on the tree. But the Bible says that the Father takes the sins of the world and places them on his precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And so when we sing of this young baby, this little child, the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps tonight, and I know that many of my non-Christian friends, that they like to think of Jesus as a baby. Because babies are non-threatening. We all love to gaze at a baby. Or sometimes we're privileged to be able to hold and nurse a baby. You see, life is precious. And the psalmist says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you just consider this evening, the complexity of the human frame, the complexity of the human mind, this surely points to a creator. You are not an object of some explosion or something that happened in time past. You're not the product of coincidence or chance. You, my friend, you have been designed and created by God himself. Life is precious. And as the result of man's rebellion, which is sin, and man's rebellion and sin, then our relationship with God has been severed. And without salvation, without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, then we are cut off from God forever. And you know, some faiths and some religions throughout the world, they seem to promote and to suggest that what we need to do is we need to do good things. And if we do good things, then eventually, when we've done enough good things, God's going to say, do you know what? You've not missed a carol service for 40 years. I mean, that's quite something. And that earns an extra brownie point. And he said, I see that you've actually made Christmas morning. That's a bonus of 5. And you've done a couple of communions. That's a bonus of 10. And at one point, yeah, your parents had you christened or you were baptized, and you've been generous and charitable and kind, and you've been law-abiding, and you kept to all the guidelines through lockdown, not just through one lockdown, but 3 lockdowns. And that's sadly what some religions teach. But the problem with that system of thinking is this. How do you know when you've done enough? How do you know? You could spend a lifetime doing good things, helping people, running errands, and then on that day of reckoning, or the day when you stand before your Creator and your Maker, if that were to be true, and he says, well, you've done really well, Andy, but I'm afraid to say that you were one church attendance short of coming into heaven. Friend, that's not the gospel. In actual fact, if that were the way we get to heaven, then none of us would ever be able to do enough. And so then it wouldn't be a time of hope. It wouldn't be a season of peace. It wouldn't be a message of joy and gladness. We, the scriptures say, we would be men and women most miserable. Because we would know within ourselves, we would know, and scripture would show us that we could never do enough. And that's why Christ came. Christ came to live the kind of life that we try to live, but we fail. He came and lived a perfect life. He was able to keep the law, every jot, every tittle. He was able to keep the law perfectly. He was and is and will always be the sinless Son of God. And he who was without sin was willing to own our sin as if it was his own, take it upon himself, and to suffer the judgment that we deserve. And that's what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. And we're introduced in this passage tonight, as we continue in our mini-series of Christmas personalities, we're introduced to these shepherds. As a young boy, I always wanted to be a shepherd in the church nativity, or the school nativity. You know, and it's quite sad, really. I aspire to be a shepherd, have a tea towel wrapped around my head, didn't have any words to learn, but just show up and be startled and amazed and astonished when the angel appeared on stage with this great message. But let's not lose sight that this event actually took place, and that when Christ was born, God in his love, God in his grace and mercy, chose the shepherds first to share this wonderful message of hope and good news. Now, it's interesting that, and we perhaps don't really fully appreciate something of what it was to be a shepherd at this time. And so when we read and we sing about these shepherds, it were, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And you know the narrative, you know the account. Well, these shepherds, at best they were common ordinary men. At worst they were outcasts, social outcasts, religious outcasts. They were not to be trusted. They were unreliable, they were untrustworthy. In actual fact, in the day of our Lord, and in Bible times, shepherds were not permitted entrance into a court of law because their word counted for nothing. They were seen to be nothing but wicked scoundrels. And so they were despised, and they were socially rejected. No one, absolutely no one, had any time for a shepherd in Jesus' day. I wonder tonight if we think of a comparison. Think of people who perhaps are despised. Think of people in our society tonight who are not only despised, but are rejected, perhaps hated. And their word counts for nothing because they're untrustworthy. I'll leave you to fill in the gaps. But I'm sure there are certain types of people who might spring to mind. And you know, the danger is that we can sit here tonight or we can sit at home tonight thinking, oh yeah, well, I'm not as bad as the people you're beginning to think of. I'm certainly not as bad as these shepherds. And yet in God's eyes, we are. Because in God's eyes, we are all under the same judgment. We're all under the wrath of God. We're all under the same sentence. And the sentence is this. It's death. It's eternal death. So don't think just because you're a school teacher or you're a policeman or you're a doctor or you're a nurse or you're a vet or even a minister, don't think that that somehow gives you greater kudos with God. Friend, you're as sinful as I am, and we're as sinful as the next man or woman. But the great news of Christmas, the news that came to these astonished and amazed shepherds, that God came to the shepherds first. Why? Because he loves people. And he chose these despised outcasts. And so an angel of the Lord, another example, an angel of the Lord appears. And they were sore afraid. I'm sure, as Ian reminded us on the Advent calendar, if you've not seen it, then tune in to our Advent calendar online. But it was dark, and they were just doing what they do, trying to make ends meet. It is more than likely that they were caring for these sheep, and particularly the lambs that would have been sold so that people could offer them for sacrifice in temple worship. And then God intervenes. And isn't that the wonder of Christmas, that God intervenes? Divine intervention, that God steps into time in the person of his Son. I wonder tonight, has God intervened into your life, into your home, into your marriage, into your family? Has he intervened? Has he stepped into your situation? Do you know him? Have you received him? Are you living by faith and trusting in him in all that he is able to do for you? And for me. Well, this is the message. It's a message that we could summarize by saying it's good news with great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. For unto you, it's personal. And the Christmas message is personal. The gospel message is personal. For unto you is born this day. It's personal. And the news is in the present. This day. For you. It's not only personal and in the present tense, but it's powerful. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Someone has been born to save you, to rescue you, to deliver you, to lift you up from sorrow and shame, to set you your feet upon a rock, to give you a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, to give you life, everlasting life, life in abundance, life in fullness. I have come, says Jesus, to give life and to give it abundantly, more abundantly. Is this not good news? Is this not good news of great joy? And God steps in and with an angel gives this news, gives this message, personal, presently powerful, that a Saviour has come for these shepherds. But this is the good news of great joy for you tonight, for you at home tonight. That Jesus is still able to be your Saviour. He is still available to you. He still wants you. He is willing that you might turn from your sin and from your rebellion and place your trust in Him. That you trust in Him, not in self, not in gifts. For the believer, we sometimes sing, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, in His death and resurrection. Today, tonight, is a night of salvation. Born for you, a Saviour. There's only one who can save you. There's only one who can make you acceptable to a holy God. There's only one who can lift you up and grant you life. There's only one who can take you through life and guide you through life and take you into glory itself. There's only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name. No other way. No other person. That's the news. That's the message. Good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. It's personal, it's present, powerful, but it's precious. This will be a sign for you. Do you know, in Jesus' day, many of the people, particularly the religious leaders, were always looking for a sign. Maybe that's you tonight. Do you meet people who are looking for a sign? Sometimes people say to me, oh, but if your God is real, why doesn't He show Himself? Why doesn't He reveal Himself? Why doesn't He do something quite extraordinary that we could believe? And I say to them, but my friend, He has. That He contracted to a span. He lowered Himself. This great God, the eternal God, the creator and sustainer, He lowered Himself and became a baby, born of a virgin. It doesn't get any more miraculous than that. But isn't it interesting that if we think of His coming into the world, miraculous, we think of His resurrection, miraculous, we think of His ascension and His ministry tonight in heaven. In a sense, it's miraculous that He pleads and prays and longs for you and for me and for people in Newport and Wales who deserve nothing from Him. And yet God's heart is full of compassion, full of love, full of grace, rich in mercy, graciously extending a loving invitation, come to me and come now and come as you are. They were given a sign. And this will be a sign that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. A manger was an animal feeding trough. They knew that because they were shepherds. And then suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. The multitude, the word multitude there, literally means a heavenly host that cannot be numbered. And the picture here is of this heavenly host that would stretch from horizon to horizon, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards those in whom God is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Is it possible to have peace in a pandemic? Yes, it is. Is it possible to live in this sinful, sin-stricken world? Is it possible to have peace where there's death and decay and disease and sickness and crying? Is it possible where there are famines and earthquakes and pestilences and war raging amongst nations tonight? Is it possible to have peace? Yes, it is. Because this is good news of great joy for all the people, even the scoundrels like you and me, even the rebels, and even these shepherds. The gospel goes out to all. Isn't that wonderful? It's not for the elite. It's not for the privileged. It's not for the wealthy. It includes them. But it's for all. But it's for all. It's an announcement that they received. And we see here is an acknowledgement that they offered. Because when the angels went away from them and departed into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. You see, God uses the unlikeliest of all, doesn't he? Here we have in Luke 2, these shepherds who not only heard the word of God, the word of the Lord, they heard it, they believed it, and they went with haste, and they were able to experience the Christ child for themselves. And tonight, friend, you are hearing good news, a great joy, that God offers you afresh the opportunity this Christmas, when everything else has been stripped away, God says, "Here I am. Here I am." And he offers you salvation, full and free. Complete restoration. Total forgiveness. And these shepherds who responded to God's word by faith, and they experienced the reality of God's word. Does God's word, does it resonate in your heart? Can you rejoice tonight the reality that God's word is in your life? That you can take a hold of his word and you can apply it and you live by it and you love it and you hold fast to it. God's word. They heard it. They believed it. They responded to it. And then they became little evangelists. And as they went, they told many they came into contact with all that they'd seen. And everything had been just that had been described to them by the angel. Of course, they wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wow. That must have been quite something. Wow. They wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Hey, listen. Many would have disregarded what the shepherds said. But there would have been a few who would have believed their testimony. I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian tonight, many will disregard your testimony. But don't become despondent. Don't allow perhaps people's negativity or people's rejection of what you testify concerning this Lord Jesus Christ. Because there will be a few who will respond. There will be a few who will wonder. There will be a few who will ultimately believe and place their trust in this Saviour, this eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ. While Mary treasures all these things up in her heart and she ponders them, and the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen, just as it had been told them. It was an amazing thing they experienced. But it was an announcement they received. It was an acknowledgement they offered. And an advancement that they enjoyed. The gospel through the shepherds started to advance as early as this, when Jesus was still a young baby. The announcement was personal. It was in the present. It was powerful and precious. And friend, tonight, Jesus stands before you. Jesus stands amongst us in his risen power. And he says, I came for you. I lived for you. I died and rose again for you. I'm going to come again. And I'm going to come for all those who embrace me. I'm going to come for all those who believe in me. I'm going to come for all those who have sought forgiveness on account of me and my work on the cross. I close with a little story. And I heard this story many, many years ago. And I've never forgotten it. And it's a story about a bishop and a barber. I mentioned earlier tonight that many, many of our plans have been scrapped. I know that some of you ladies, perhaps you are due to have your hair done this coming week, so it's nice for Christmas. Plans scrapped. I was thinking of having a trim myself, but I'll have to make sure that as soon as the barbers open, reopen, I'll be first in the queue. Well, here's a story about a bishop and a barber. And the bishop went for his monthly trim, and he sat there waiting patiently. Then it was his turn. And he came and sat in the barber's chair, and the barber was a little chap. The bishop was quite a tall man, had his dog collar on, sat down. The barber put the white cloth around him, started combing his hair. What can I do for you, sir? I'll have short back and sides. No problem. I see you're a man of the cloth. Yes, I'm a bishop, he said. So you're a man who believes in God, are you? Yes, I do, he said. Well, and as he's combing this bishop's hair, snip, snip, snip. Well, he said, as far as I'm concerned, if there is a God, then, well, I work hard. I'm a good husband, a good father. I pay my taxes. I give to Red Nose Day, and I give to children in need. I do my best. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, God will have to accept me on my terms. And the bishop says, no, you don't understand the gospel. That's not how it works. And the little barber starts getting a little bit annoyed with the bishop. And he said, now listen, he says, I've told you. I do my best. I pay my taxes. I don't cause any trouble. And my best will have to be good enough for God. At which he finished the haircut. And he removed the white cloth. And then the bishop stood up. And he's brushing away the excess hair that gets there under your collar. So they tell me. And then he's just about to turn to pay the barber. And all of a sudden, the bishop, he gets a hold of this barber and he pushes him into the chair. And this barber, little man, he said, well, what are you doing? It's all right, he said. And he took the white cloth and he whipped it round, he tied it, he picked up the comb and the scissors, and the bishop said, right, I'm gonna cut your hair. Starts combing the barber's hair. Snip, snip. What are you doing, he said. Oh, don't worry, he said. I will make sure I do my very best. He said, you can't cut my hair. He said, you're a bishop, not a barber. You have no idea about hair cutting. Don't worry, relax, he said. I will do my very best. And the barber said, but your best isn't good enough for me. To which the bishop replied, neither is your best good enough for God. Maybe tonight you're sat at home watching. Maybe that's your mindset. Maybe that's your thinking. That God will have to accept my best. Well, friend, tonight, your best, my best, will never be enough. But God, in his mercy, at the appointed time, sent forth his Son, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, and went to a cross where he died in the place of sinners. He rose again in glorious triumph, and he's alive tonight. And he says, I can be your Savior, and you can know me now. You can know me tonight. You can know me forever. And he calls all men everywhere to repent. He calls us to turn from sin and self, and by faith to cry out to God, Lord God, forgive me a sinner. And we can only approach a holy God through the Christ who was born on that first Christmas. This is good news of great joy. It's personal. It's present. It's powerful. And it's precious. And friends, I implore you tonight, I plead with you tonight, if you don't know him, then call out to him now. Call upon the Lord whilst he may be found. Ask him to be your Lord, your God, and your Saviour. He can, and he will. This is good news of great joy that came first to the shepherds, but by God's grace has come to you this evening. Receive Christ, and you will surely live. Well, we're going to conclude.